Blog Talk Radio.
Up there for a boxing jump, and to be with giving a bunch of that, a bit of a 96 and 90.
pretty proud of the really she's on the flight to the campus of State University of New York at Westchester, which is in Valhalla, New York. It's more famous, campus on the Long Island side of it. I don't really know, I was always in the back of the car sleeping when we went up there, but you have to go and get off the Tappan Bridge, and then you come to there. And the one thing I'll never forget, smallest way you've ever been in my life, I mean, which was like, I eat the great time you eat a peanut butter, and you get on those touch walls. That's a cool one. It was like, it was funny, it was actually, for a valley, it didn't really select boxes, it was like a smaller ring. That ring was actually a little bit too small for me, because it was hard to build momentum when you were like, towards the first guy, we're trying to circle and cut off. It was like, you couldn't, you know, open up the bunches, it was like,
I would be really a little bit better as a fighter to get more fighters.
Most guys challenge for any chamber that is not just, protecting the count of his jab, but, the strength of his jab.
All right. That's enough on Eddie and Vladdy. There's quite an interesting co-main event fight there, too, as well. It's surprisingly for a low title, the NABF heavyweight title. But there's another heavyweight fight on it. There's three heavyweight fights on the whole card. But the co-main event is Jonathan Banks, 23-1, with 16 knockouts, and his only loss by a knockout. Fighting Travis Walker, 34-3, 28 knockouts, and all three of his losses by knockout. So chances are it's going to be a knockout, whoever wins. And we got one draw for Travis, too. So we'll see if it's for the vacant NABF heavyweight title. That should be an interesting fight. I don't know. I think I've seen Travis Walker fight before. Probably seen Jonathan Banks, I just don't remember. But also there's an 8-rounder, Alexander Ustinov, 19-0 with 15 knockouts versus Ed Mahone, 24-9 with 2 draws and 23 knockouts to his credit for 24 wins. That's not bad. Probably going to be a lot of heavyweight knockouts on this card, and unfortunately it's only going to be available like overseas unless you get a connection through the internet, which I do, but I don't know if I'm going to catch this title.
I'm going to tell you
where
you saw Travis Walker before. He was down in Florida, Chris Arriola, about a year and a half ago, and he hit Arriola in the first round with right hand, and he knocked him down, and Arriola got up and got pissed off and knocked him out. That was on HBO show in the third round. This were about 3 straight wins against a guy 15-13, 12-22, and 13-31. This fought a guy that was 27-4 and got knocked down in the first round. Then his last three fights beat a guy that was 3-0, a guy that was 3-21. And then, in a very impressive display, he just knocked down a guy who was 300 pounds
for a awesome. Speaking of guys who are weighing 300 pounds, Francois Botha versus Holyfield is in the news. I just posted a blog on it. April 10th, he's going to Storm Network. And of course, there's all kinds of swirling news about Mike Tyson coming back to boxing. Well, I don't know about that, but. Mike Tyson, Inc.'s new reality show featuring pigeons. This recording I have in front of me.
Yeah, sure.
Featuring pigeons. None other than the little pigeons.
That's awesome.
Former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson has rebranded himself to help rehabilitate his tainted image. Within the last year, the Brooklyn, New York native has made appearances on the Oprah Winfrey Show and had the documentary Tyson. And, basically, the Associated Press reports Tyson will star in his very own reality show, taking on Tyson on Animal Planet to participate in one of his favorite pastimes, pigeon racing. If you're a bit taken back by the announcement, no need to fret, you're not alone. According to the channel's media president, Marjorie Kaplan, Tyson's passion for his pigeons, it takes my breath away. So we're going to see the softer side of Mike Tyson and his love for the birds of a feather that flock together. And ironically, that's one connection I have to Mike Tyson. I've always had I haven't always had pigeons around, but when I was a kid, my dad taught me how to catch pigeons in the backyard. And we had a pigeon coop full of pigeons. We put little garbage ties on their feet, so we could identify him, and we let him go and caught him again. And when my sisters had fights, one of them would go down to the pigeon shed and let all the pigeons out to get revenge. We'd have to catch them all again. And sometimes we'd find one dead under the ports that the cat got, and he'd have a band on him, and we'd be like, oh, there goes Brownie. We had different colored garbage ties. It's funny, the article that I'm looking at, there's a little tie on the pigeons. How you identify. Sometimes, every now and then, you find a pigeon in the wild that's escaped from somebody's Pigeon Emporium. I see that at this this like a train station like 20 minutes away from me here. I was there one day and I see this pigeon outside. It's like brown and white. It's just hugely decorative. I mean, it had like fur on its feet. Never seen a pigeon like that. I was like, where did this guy come from? And he was like walking around inside the place. He was like, yeah, I know, I'm a designer pigeon. Just trying to hype it up. he was very keen around people, so I knew he was definitely not something that just, it was naturally wild. But Tyson loves the pigeons, and he's going to have his own show about them, so it's kind of interesting. I don't know if that's going to preclude him from fighting Holyfield after this Francois Botha fight, but we shall see. I don't know. I haven't heard anything else about that rumor that we talked about last week, that he is going to fight Holyfield, or that he's been talking about it, at least. The Ringside Report guy there seems to be the only one going out on the limb there. But we also have a couple other boxing matches that are interesting. We have a good matchup over in Poland. We have a 12-round cruiserweight fight on Saturday between Paweł Kołodziej, 24-0 with 13 knockouts, fighting Mark Krentz, or Krentz, who's 24-6 with 6 knockouts. That's for the vacant World Boxing Federation cruiserweight title. And let's see, what else do we have? Outlander Solis, 15-0, 11 knockouts at heavyweight. He's fighting a 10-rounder versus Carl Davis Drummond, 24 by Bob Arum. Also, somebody's O has got to go in the coming event. Featherweight, an 8-rounder between Jorge Diaz, 12-0 with 8 knockouts, and Alejandro Lopez, 13-0 with only 2 knockouts. So he's going to try to win by decision, I think. Anyway, we have also Baltimore, Maryland, an interesting matchup for the main event. Jesse Nicolo at middleweight, 19-2 with 7 knockouts versus Scott Sigmund, 8-1 with 3 knockouts. Next Thursday, I just want to like to mention real quick that the rest of the cards are not hashed out yet, but the main event is Demetrius Hopkins, 28-1 with 11 knockouts and 1 draw versus Freddie Norwood, 43-3 with 1 draw and 23 knockouts. This is at the Commerce Casino in Commerce, California, Thursday, March 25th. Chester Kent Kerner is putting on that show. And it's going to be on Canada Super Channel.
Okay, I'm going to give you a trivia question. That's fine. You have a good job.
Okay.
You want my trivia questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Reggie Little Hagler and Norwood. She was a senior back in the way back in the day. She's really coming up late, you know. Well, back then, almost a year ago, coming up. Back in 1999, what
did you took down for pound fighter in the state? I want to say Pernell Whitaker. Is it a wild guess?
Yeah. Manuel Marquez.
Really?
Yep. Those four guesses are the first time. A little high to beat him. So, you didn't care that I was going to train.
Well, they put together quite a few, quite a big streak of being unbeaten until 2000. September 2009, lost by TKO. And then he's only had 2 losses since then. And those were in 2008 to the same guy. One by disqualification, one by KO. So he's only ever been knocked out or disqualified. Only lost by decision. He's got 1 draw. Back in the beginning, but he put together a lot of fights before he had trouble. Hasn't seen you for 18 years. or heard from you.
I think 13
years. 13. Oh, sorry.
I fought for Lockheed University, Dr. Cox. Thank you. I fought on your shows 95, 96, and 97. And I always enjoyed it. I always loved coming up there. And I know Dr. Cox has always joked with me. I was always a big doctor fan. We used to have that, I don't know if you still do, but you had that Rocky Marciano Memorial Dinner. A lot of the fighters, professional fighters, and true. Well, Dr. Cox, I'm telling you, I know you're going to stay for this, but you can't. We have to get back to Lock Haven. You got class on Monday. I went back to Lock Haven just last month. I was a guest coach for the team. I came up to help Dr. Cox out and help the new fighters.
Give us a little bit of a rundown about your career in boxing and all your accolades over the years in this American Association for the Improvement of Boxing. Rocky Marciano personally? You guys give out scholarships every year for that to an up-and-coming boxer? Awesome.
Before we got back to the accident, I was telling Rich of the 1,000 that I tell you was actually one of my own, one of my favorite memories, and it actually was when I pulled up your car in 1997. And it was a funny story. When I came up there, I was a kid from a U.S. military academy named Dave Adams, who actually beat Lander that year in the Nationals. He went on to win the national title. He was a two-time champion. Really, really nice kid. So when I was going up there, I forgot my boxing shoes. And I had to borrow over here. She had to keep my driver's license. The guy that was the referee, a real tall guy, that began to meet him. I don't really remember, but I had to keep my driver's license for him to loan me a pair of boxing shoes. They were about two sizes too big. And, of course, they were red and blue. They were white, red, and blue, and I'm wearing red and black trunks. So it really didn't match too well either. My dad came to me at the video. Yeah, you fought boots in 1998. It looks like you're wearing clown shoes out there. They're way too big for you. Chris asked about it. But the one thing I remember about that fight card was my dad had brought up an uncle of mine. And his father, who had long passed away, had gone to the fight in 1952 in Philadelphia. Rocky Marciano and Jersey Joe Walcott and Rocky won the title.
Yeah.
And he had the program and the original ticket. My uncle, my dad's cousin, you know, he was worried about his health. And, you know, he was worried that he had a health scare earlier that year, and he was worried that something would happen to him if one of his brothers would sell it. He bought the program and the ticket to New York with him, and he gave it to me after the fight was over. And he goes, you know what? Because the whole family is really proud of you, and we think you really deserve this, and we know you've been taking care of it. And I took it home, I put it in a frame, and I still have it in my gym. The original program, the original ticket, and my grandfather used to keep all the newspaper clippings. So I have clippings from Rocky's first fight with Eddie Charles, and his feedback with Joe Walcott. I have those newspaper clippings framed and hanging in my gym.
Well, that's tough.
Yeah. You know, I was telling Rich, I still have, you know, the poster you gave us that time with you and Roy James.
Oh, yes. Person.
got along pretty well with Rocky, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I liked him right back. I liked him.
And you've got the...
We're going to do some of the swimming for that, you know.
Yeah.
think I was paying attention to some of them. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's the one that gets the most airtime anyway.
So I was paying 2.
I also heard somebody say that if you counted up all the shots and you know, if you looked at the whole fight in particular, you'd find that probably Clawdy threw the better shots over the 12 rounds, but Pacquiao threw more of them and controlled every round.
One out of the chance, one problem that you throw a lot of punches, if you look at
right. He's biding his time, waiting for his best opportunities to throw him, so he's looking for the knockout, obviously. He can't knock Manny out. He's really proved that in his last few fights to me. He's taken everything those guys had.
He's a good champ.
Yeah. And who else in the boxing circles today do you really like to watch?
Well, I watch certain fights since Ray Hamilton and all of you. He's done it there for a while. But one of the chips to tell.
Right.
He created a new documentation of all the wisdom of it. The boxers who show exceptional skill, they go to the middle of the list, the documentation of all the wisdom. It's not my goal, the goal of boxing should be a scientific sport. He plays in the deuce for me, whenever he plays in his life. He plays for me, I don't think it's real clear. It's a character goal that should still be hidden. Because of that, as a result, my guy will make me a visitor again. I hope. He was a much more hit. Guys catch too much, they want to have a favorable result,
right. And you sent me some things here. We got your boxing guide. I looked through that. It's quite impressive. It's got so many people in here from Marvin Hagler, Bill Caton, Teddy Atlas, all those guys giving you props for a great book. And definitely seems like you put a lot of work into that. Know your stuff.
The thing is that I like to see boxing. It's a scientific sport.
Still there, Steve?
It's not as clear as it should be.
No, we're reading you loud and clear.
Yeah.
And looking at this book right now, how did you develop this? And also, I mentioned that I'm kind of fascinated by this. You mentioned that you had the only college credit course for boxing at one point. Is that still true?
Well, it started there. They were receptive. First, they were kind of apprehensive. Most colleges allowed them to be really bad. Shane Talbot did the play game. So, this college is going to have a school that's part of their curriculum. They were there for a while, and then I got to feel that we could have a very close thing. That's all the curriculum they put in. There we go.
Do people can get this book on the website for the American Association for the Improvement of Boxing, right?
Yeah. It's called the Call of Champions Boxing.
Okay. Yeah, that is.
Oh, cool. Yeah, but coming out about it much. I work it all the time, I guess. I can't extricate myself, it's too late.
And do you still train fighters at all?
Oh, yes. I was 2 days a week on the fight team. We have a great placement called it. Not even a body, he goes to the Western Mountain. His father was one of my coaches. In fact, his father was one of my fighters who took the kids in amateur pro.
That's
a little party. One 12 hours of life, state confession fight. Last of the guard against season draw. And that was a square draw. Charles can attend your education.
Right. Yeah, it's actually good to be able to box myself in college. Tony and I both were supposed to fight each other at one point. So I only get to box for one semester, though. You get to box all 4 years if you want to. You box like 5 years, Tony?
Thank you. Most of us smash here in the weather.
Yeah, there's actually a video online there I saw about with Rocky's adopted son who came up for the event. Rocky Jr. He really appreciated it. Came all the way up from Florida to see it.
He's a bright fellow.
Yeah. Well, Steve, is there anything else you wanted to add or talk about that we haven't covered? Yeah, definitely. I'd love to make it out there for your show and promote it however we can. We'd also like to keep promoting the American Association for the Improvement of Boxing. I really like the concept and the idea and the direction that you're taking with it, so we'd like to really help out with that and promote it also on my website.
Thank you.
show, and he's got that big event coming up, the show down there in New York, and you know, you can just look at our blog every now and then and check for updates on that. We'll help that heavily. I didn't mention MMA at all to Steve. I got a scathing report against MMA from him in the mail as well.
Ever.
But, yeah, it's just interesting. knowing that there's real haters out there for MMA. They don't want to see, you know, even get a foothold.
You know where I see a lot of rage? I don't want to those things start to show as I think before. People want to make things out. You know, watch one site for Yahoo Answers and stuff like that. And, I don't stop it for them. And I get back to the question. Sometimes you see that guys on there that are capable to use the retrains because they're like 15 years old. They're like, they're not as tough as they think they are or something like that. You get a boxing form and say, you show something about boxing or whatever. You say, fuck boxing, watch your lectures. Your boxing pussies because they didn't wear those big gloves and stuff like that.
Boxing tournament to determine the sport's junior welterweight king of the ring. that's a hell of a paragraph right there. It's one paragraph of the story. HBO official setting with president of sports Ross Greenberg have signed off on the 11-bout, 12-man tournament, which includes Bradley, WBA King Amir Khan of England, and IBF and WBC titleist Devin Alexander. Promoters Richard Schaefer and Oscar De La Hoya, Bob Arum, Don King, Gary Schott, and Luke Bella are all in agreement and have given their approval for the talent of the field, which is comprised of the division's premier fighters, whom they all represent. Makes you want to have HBO, doesn't it? Preliminary round, Lamont Peterson, 27-1, 13 KOs, Washington, D.C. versus Nicklin Valero, 27-0, 27 KOs. He's
Boxable
Boyer,
so
he's the wolf
went out there.
Also, Vicious Victor Ortiz, 26-2, with one draw, 21 KOs versus Nate Campbell, 33-5, one draw, 25 knockout. We have Lee Campbell versus Holly Malignaggi in the quarterfinal round. This is projections, I guess. Pick says Campbell advances. Controversial split decision on somebody's prediction. And then Peterson versus Victor Keo, 24-0, 16 knockouts. The prediction. In the quarterfinal round would be Tim Bradley versus the number 8 seed. And Amir Khan versus number 6 seed. Sam Kune is in the mix.
Oh, of course.
There's a whole bunch of that. So that's one of the stories. It seems like boxing is doing a lot of the tournament style stuff. Prize fighter, contender stuff, trying to get some more attention on the sport and the fighters in general. So hopefully that will do that. We also have this Klitschko fight that I mentioned. You can go to klitschko.com and pay $14.95 to see that if you want. If you like to watch that sort of thing. Pacquiao should just stick to boxing, according to the Honolulu Advertiser. Poor ticket sales forced promoters to cancel world champion boxer Manny Pacquiao's concert that was to be held Sunday at the Waikiki Shell. Ryan Chang of Island Fire Productions said that as of noon Wednesday, only 603 tickets had been sold for the Manny Pacquiao Live in Hawaii concert celebration. Tickets for the concert were anywhere from $25 to $150, with the highest price seats including Meet Greek Pacquiao. They still only sold 600 tickets. Pacquiao has had 2 albums go platinum in the Philippines, but rarely performs outside of his country, except at celebration parties following his victories in the ring. And so apparently people want to see the rest for the sake after that fight. Also, in the MMA news, I wanted to mention Pro Elite may be back soon. Looks like it's actually trading on the stock market again for $1.60 a share. Pro Elite, if you remember correctly, is the parent company of Elite FC, which sold most of its resources to Strikeforce, including all its fighters. But the ProElite.com website was tragically the victim of that split and that bankruptcy when they went under. And now it's back. I just checked. ProElite.com is up and running. It's not quite the community it used to be, but it's a bare platform anyway for once, instead of just nothing. So maybe we'll see that make a resurgence, but that was quite the community. I had a lot of connections on there that I lost because they went out of business. But, now they're back, and they're just named the president, chairman of the board, Paul Feller, and he's an entertainment and got some entertainment and media company background. He's the president and CEO of Stratus Media Group. He assumed control of the board of directors in February. tall fella and his CEO is Travis. Anything else interesting in here? He's also served as COO and CEO of PSI, an international live entertainment business, which operated sports events in Asia, Europe, and North America. See, forward-looking statements. We'll see. I don't know if Broly's going to go back to promoting fights, but it seems like it could be a possibility. Never know. Also, Bellator Fighting Championships and Everlast launched an exclusive partnership recently. Everlast will become the exclusive equipment provider for Bellator, including fight gloves, cages, and training equipment. Additionally, Everlast will provide a line of co-branded MMA equipment that will be available nationwide through catalog, online, and That's about it for the news roundup. But we do have some MMA fights to talk about coming up this weekend. We have 7th Ring Jewels on the 19th. High Voltage TFC 10 on the 19th. Edmonton, Alberta. The Jewels in Tokyo, Japan. Extreme Brawl is going on in Guildford, Surrey, England, the 20th. Evolution 1 XKL is going on at Eastern Michigan University. That's on the 20th. But this must be Floriba. Not Florida. Floriba Fight 6 is going on in Santa Catarina, Brazil. There's some Bad Blood in Montreal, Quebec, going on the 20th. At the Pierre Charbonneau Center, Warrior One MMA, for that. X1 World Events is putting on Champions 2 at the Blaisdell Arena in Honolulu, Hawaii. I assume they sold more tickets than they pack in. We got the Extreme Fight Club Beatdown on the Bay 2 on the 20th in Erie, Pennsylvania, the Bayfront Convention Center. How far is that from you, Tony? Yeah, I figured that. But probably 8 hours away. Pennsylvania is like the freaking hardest state to get across.
It's huge.
Operation Octagon 10 is going on in Sterling, Virginia, the Dulles Sportsplex. We have the Pisambu Gymnasium in Sao Paulo, Brazil, Jungle Fight 18 on the 20th. And finally, on the 21st, not finally, but on the 21st, the big main event, the only fight here listed on SureDog for the 21st, is the UFC on Versus number 1. John Jones versus Brandon Vera, the main event. John Bones Jones and Brandon. I think Brandon's Brandon the Triple Four, but I'm sure. Anyway, Junior Dos Santos, the number 7 heavyweight. He's also on the card fighting Gabriel Gonzaga, a former interviewer, UE, actually. Interviewing him back at USFL event. Live in person with a tape recorder. We got it on FNU.mypodcast. So if you want to check out a good interview back in the day, Zog is a guy from around the Massachusetts area, Western Massachusetts. He works out in Worcester. We just had a guy a couple weeks ago talk about him working with him. Ali B does some workouts with him. So we had some inside information about how good he still is. He's fighting Junior Dos Santos. He's also pretty good. It's going to be a good test for him. Also on the card is Chet Congo versus Paul Buontello. The guy really presses me too much, but you never know. Daniel Roberts versus John Howard. The guy we had on the show, John Howard, I just saw him kind of fundraiser type of, it's like a model search, wasn't this one right? A model search event there in Boston for Bare Bones Fight Gear. He's going to be on the card. He's had quite 8 win streak in the UFC. He's had 3 fights, 3 wins, all by decision except for the very last one. He knocked a guy out with 5 seconds left in the fight. So that's pretty interesting. He's from Boston. KGFX promoter Linda Shields is going to be out there with him for that event in Broomfield, Colorado. She's already out there in Colorado. And you should be at the next event as well for KGFX, which is going to be April 3rd. Mansfield, we're going to have a press release out on that pretty shortly. They're going to be working on that stuff overnight on the fight card and the whole deal for that. But this event here, UFC 1 on Versus. We also have Dwayne Ludwig, who's a guy from Colorado. He's going to be on the card versus Darren Elkins. Clay Guida versus Shannon Cougarty. Vladimir Matyushenko versus Elliot Marshall. James Irvin versus Alessio Sakara. Brendan Schaub versus Chase Gormley. Eric Schaefer versus Jason Burroughs. Mike Pierce versus Julio Paulino. Wrapping that one up, so that should be good. It's going to be on Versus, Tony, so you can watch it for free. I know you love that.
Yeah, we got all over that.
And then we have a bunch of stuff going on in Japan. On the 22nd, we have Dream 13 at the Yokohama Arena. Shuto, The Way of Shuto 2, Like a Tiger, Like a Dragon. That's a long name for an event. That's at Korakuen Hall in Tokyo, Japan. Also on the 22nd, Passion Tour 2, Pancrase, at Azalea Taisho Hall, Osaka, Japan. And we also have something going on the 23rd, in Brazil, at the Bio Vision Staples Event Hall, Ironman Fight Camp. That wraps it up for the upcoming MMA events. Not too much else going on in the 8th boxing news. We're still promoting heavily this little Battle of the Badges 2 event. Speaking of which, I just thought of an idea. Maybe I should put that link up on the Ring Girls page. Instead of I'm getting a free promotion on that page. We also, I don't know if I talked about this last week, but we also have a link up on the homepage at kingseffects.com. Just found out recently they made a partnership with WAAF, which is a very popular radio station around here. It's based out west near Worcester, Massachusetts. But it's a huge classic rock radio station. They play all kinds of rock, but mostly classic rock. And so it's great news to know that they've promoted with them. We're going to start co-promoting with them. John Howard, I'm sure, will represent well the Boston area here in this upcoming UFC card. We're going to be watching it for free. See how that goes. Other than that, I don't know. Not much else going on. What do you think?
Hey, we're trying to have a couple of things that we need to throw out there tonight.
Give or take, I don't know who's going to win that one. It's kind of a toss-up for me. If I also said the same thing about the Marquez versus Mayweather fight, and I was wrong about that, you know. So maybe I'm giving Mosley too much credit, maybe not, but they just had the, just put it up on the blog, they just had the announcement that the anti-doping procedure is going to go forward pretty soon here. The first 10 are going to happen. So, you know, that's obviously not going to be a factor in it. You know, Floyd has been, you know, pretty adamant in the public saying that Mosley has done steroids before. You know, obviously it's not going to be a factor. If that happened before, it's not going to be a factor this time. So you never know. I mean, if what he says is true and Mosley has done steroids before and that's what led him to have such a good performance against a guy who could have had loaded gloves, so you could have had potentially two guys cheating in that fight. Who knows? I actually read some post, like an anonymous post somewhere, saying that Mosley was using the clear, which is the same stuff I think that was associated with Barry Bonds, stuff that you supposedly rub on your muscles and just, you know, it's like automatic. And it's very hard to detect, but there's no, obviously no confirmation on that, so I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that's confirmed. But it's out there, you know, people are talking about it, so maybe that's where Floyd gets it from. And obviously, Mosley has never come forward and filed a lawsuit like Pacquiao did, so you never know, but I don't want to paint the blame. I would definitely say that Mosley, judging by his last performance, has an excellent shot to win, but I always got to go with the undefeated guy, so I'm leaning towards Mayweather in this one, because it proved me wrong to try to be devil's advocate the last time. Marquez, it's a surprise win. But Mosley will test him, for sure. And if he does pull out a win, I think it'll be by knockout. I don't think he'll ever get a decision. But, as I said, and as they always say, you have to rock. As far as, what was the other fight that you mentioned?
Hopkins-Jones.
Hopkins-Jones, I think that's a no-brainer. I think Hopkins wins that one hands down. But we'll leave it to you to analyze that one.
Topically, why I'd like to keep him hands down. Because Hopkins is a fighter that, people are voted as perfect. But he doesn't have, you know, the same knockout ability that he did back, you know, with late 90s, early 2000s. More of a boxer now, he's more of a baller now, and he always had trouble with Jones. He trouble with Jones in the first fight, he always uses speed instead of the outside refusal engage. Hopkins is not like a pressure fighter like Danny Green was, where he's not a throw a thousand punch around that would be Joe Calzaghe was, or he wasn't, like I said, a guy that the face guy like Tarver or Ken Johnson was. This is the way he beat Roy Jones up. Hopkins is more of a guy that's going to try to pick his shots. He's been, and I caught him in the the quarterfinals, and yeah, he won. And you went to beating two more times, won the title. But he kind of caught me by surprise. I had no idea who he was, and I was telling a coworker of mine today. I was saying, to go into the National that year, I said, I beat 5 of the 7 guys in the weight class. I fought, you know, 4 of them. And the other guy was a guy that I had no fear of, was this guy, you know, from Kentucky. So I had, like, 2 guys that I really didn't need to see, you know, who they were. And then after the scouting report, I said, my first thought in the tournament, you know, when we were drawing seeds, I said, I really need to avoid Mark Swanton and Rich Bergeron on the first night. And if I could do that, I can win the national titles.
Yeah.
Because I'm fighting guys that I've already seen or have already fought, and I will beat them. And then I'll have enough of a scouting report on the YouTube guy, you win Swanton. Didn't work out that way, I'm going to lose him. But what bothered me more about that year was that the regionals. The regional tournament was at Penn State, where it was every year, even though Lock Hand used to outdraw them 3-1. Because 3,000 people in the night, if they were lucky, they'd have got 800. But they would get the regionals. And the first night of the regionals, some of the weight class, two other guys that I had both beaten early in the season, Jesse Bond and Michael Jordan. So, I was the returning All-American, so case in point, I should have gotten my
arch enemies.
I should get the bye in the first round. They said, no, because you weren't the All-American, the 185 you were at 172, so you didn't get the bye. If you weren't get the bye, me and Bond were going to play the first night, and the regionals with their 5 days only had 3. And you had make sure that this guy, All-American, not one of the three justices. He's very biased towards Penn State. Tired as my stand. I don't want him judging my fight. And they were kind of, oh, you're butchering him out. And I said, I don't look at that judging my fight. Dr. Cox said it. You know, Cooper said it. Even some other judges said it. This guy should not be judged because he's, you know, very biased. And they put him on the card, put him on my fight. So I already had one judge against me. I already can't win on that story. So, now it comes up with two other judges. One judge came to the fight, handily. The other judge had to lose about 1 point. And I knew he was wrong to do it before, but it was hard to go against the Penn State guy at Penn State, especially because another Penn State fighter lost a close fight earlier in the night, as the people were bitching about too much. So, I let him have it when I was leaving. You know, I mean, I never even got undressed. I don't know. When I was on my ride home that night, I actually didn't go out on the team. I rode back with my dad and a couple friends of mine. I was still in my boxing gear, chugging whiskey out of a bottle, playing in my team. No, I'm probably not calling Nationals. I'm getting drunk tonight. So, it's a true story, man. The only thing that hurt me in Nationals that year was not thinking I was going to Nationals. I'm probably even now, you know, I'm not caring, I'm not training. And there was a finish of that at night that when that door got broken, I felt winning. I felt myself being winning. So I stick it to the and I laid it right on the top of the wall. My surgery was there at me. And that really also, you know, the fans of the Nationals. It is so good. Really, the one that pulled the trigger up screwing me that year. Outstanding boxer of the night. Homer had So the summary judge emails me, and he's like, you know, I had the pleasure of refereeing and judging and watching Lonnie, you're fighting with Zell. He was actually the guy that was a former graduate law team and left before I got there. He had went through the law team and boxing and Facebook group and coached people put together.
Yeah.
And he had the eye of the pleasure of watching and judging many of your fights. You were always an all-action fighter, and it was so rare to see that. And you were always a great watch, and I hope you're still involved in the box somehow. And I'm like, Rich, can I have these long-ass, long-ass, drawn-out story guys tell you? How do I respond to this guy? Because this is been fucking done to kill me for 20 years now.
Yeah.
I'm about to say that, fuck that daddy. Now I'm going to be out of here. And I'm just going to be really part of my life. And so, like, I look at it, and I think we got to see the kind of guy I was acting. And I think we look at the guy who beat up the ringside physician to stop the fight, and I was talking to that. And, so this is really bad, because I was, I performed a Western African success. This is my shot, you know, really that I could get that national title that I thought I really earned. And, I feel that it's really made a reason this game, and then just barely getting two-dimensional, what is like the shittiest, you don't see possible, and then really screwed my chances over. And I just left to walk in, I wasn't a happy time. So I really didn't have anything else going on. I wasn't boxing anymore. I didn't have the second turn. I think I was national champion last year. I didn't have that going for me anymore. So I mean, it felt like I didn't want to be a lot of human anymore. I did break a lot. You know, that's all I did for my hand. Before this shit happened, and I'm like, and now 12 years later, it's like, oh man, you owe me the pleasure to watch.
Well, obviously he's forgotten. Need to remind him.
Yeah, he forgot. He forgot.
And ask for an apology. Maybe then you can get over it. But. Yeah, I had the same issue. I mean, I wasn't controversial, but I bowed out of the Nationals. First thing I did was go to my room and start drinking, like you said. In college, you did that in college, and you know, to go through the whole boxing year and not be able to really, you know, party too much. I mean, obviously you're gonna want to pop the cork after you're done, whether you win or lose. I used to take up smoking cigarettes. It's worse than drinking. After I lost my last national fight there against Mike Short, but I worked out the best. What I could see. I mean, the only thing that I maybe would have influenced me to win that fight a little more would be if my dad showed up, because I remember talking to him on the phone, and, you know, him saying that he was going to try to get down there. And, you know, I just reunited with the Air Force Academy coach and brought back so many memories of my dad coming down there and just spending like $600 in the cadet store there, you know, just get all kinds of Air Force Academy gear. You know, this was like, something really big. It was like the biggest thing I was ever going to do in sports. So he was really trying to get down there, but he ended up being able to go. But, you know, I was outmatched anyway, and I was taking it easy. It was like very conscious in my mind that I had to save something for this Air Force guy, because I knew he was going to be in the finals. I just knew it, you know, just from being there and from seeing him. The guy was huge. So, I mean, I kind of screwed myself, but you never know. I mean, maybe if my dad was there, I would have fought a little harder. I would have, would have not been so strategic about it. Maybe I would have tried to fight more my game than his game. But really killed me. He was such a better inside fighter than I was. I didn't account for it.
If you kept doing it in the other case, you could do shit like that, Kane. The way I beat him, and I was telling Coach about it, just focus on the while I was up there. I didn't miss out on that. I had never seen it before. It's a gross degree. And I turned the doc and saw him at the weigh-in. I wasn't there. I'd already made that. And he said to me, he told him, he's got long arms and you can take my hands up. Never seen him fight though. This was his first time off post. He knocked out arms. You know nothing about him. So in the first round, as soon as the fight starts, you go out there and you lock him right in the mouth of your best shot. And if you try to make a start away from him, that's what I did, you know, and I got him backing up the whole time, and I just kept coming through and coming straight in. It's like, That's why I won that fight. Yeah, I mean, national that year, I mean, I'm talking about it. I feel it's really that fight. The person that actually, if I would have been in the fight that I'm going to be by right now, happened a year later, if it was a fight that I could have seen, really prepare myself to fight a guy from Air Force, it was our boy Mitch Paz. He was a team member who was a lot bigger. He can finish that half weight back and now. This time down in the spring, he was up to like 168, almost 170 something pounds. And he was just coming from Dallas, but was still a ranked contender, talking about a possible title shot, which then it kind of changed. And Tom, I think he took from God out of that year, and classic fighter. And he was tall. He had pulled off, it's kind of looked like a bigger size of a body. And when the first bell rang, he sprinted out of his corner and jabbed his mouth. He just tore into Tony Minnesota, throwing hooks to the body, and he started just clipping him every shot that he had. And so he never backed up in the corner, and his relentlessness stayed on top of him. He never let him get any confidence. He took his confidence from the first round, from the first second, and that's how he was able to beat a player that was younger, that was bigger, that, you know, people were saying was in his prime, and he was past his prime. He beat him psychologically. And I wish that thought would happen in a year or so earlier, because I would have tried to implement that strategy.
Yeah, well, can't live it again, so. Know what they say. Let the past be the past.
What do I think you? I mean, how long has Tom been this guy? 12 years. 12 years, you know.
Just tell him the truth. Just be like, yeah, thanks for the compliment. You kind of screwed me. Maybe that'll really be like a point where you can kind of not so much get revenge, but like get past it, you know, with yourself, because you probably always wanted to tell this guy that, you know, so why don't you just go ahead and tell him, be like, fucking deflate his balloon. Last thing you want for that kid on such a great streak, he breaks my ribs, wins every fight in the Golden Gloves tournament, wins the Golden Gloves. Now he's going to Nationals. And the worst thing you could have happen to him is go to Nationals, have a great fight, and lose by decision, the fight that he should have won. Just because he's a newcomer, you know, and it's like, you know, that whole town cooking thing, like Pauly Malignaggi complained about so much after that Diaz fight there in Texas. And, just totally, all that stuff just makes your blood boil, gets you angry, you know, especially when you, like you said, you work so hard on preparing for a fight. And we used to run 7 miles every Tuesday on the road, they've been talking about that. And I wish I could still do that. I probably could still do it if I kept at it, you know, but there's not too much terrain like there was down there to run 7 miles over. I mean, we ran through the hills of Virginia down there, and I'll never forget that, but I only got one semester to do it. And I should be at least thankful that you had all those semesters to give it a shot. I had to deal with my club team. You talk about a small ring. Put the ring together ourselves. Jury rigged it. I can't wait to. I gotta find somebody that takes the Friday night fights we used to do in Norwich, the club team members. I mean, I only got to fight once, and it was against a kid who was 30 pounds heavier than me, but it was still a lot of fun. We had a lot of good times. We had one fight where two guys came out of the audience, two Asian guys, and they fought each other, and they weren't even on the club. It was so illegal. Never be sanctioned at an official event, but we were low-key. You know, we had insurance, and we did pretty well. But that one semester, I mean, it was great to get all the way to Nationals. It was quite the experience, but it took a lot of hard work, and I'll never forget those runs and how out of shape I showed up. You know, I just couldn't even get through a fight, a scrimmage, with the guy I beat in the regionals. So it was nice to be able to accomplish that. And that's obviously a huge part of your life, you know, when you have that happen to you, and then, you know, even if you don't end up in boxing as a career, you know, like what happened to me is I always had it, you know, as a passion of mine, even though I got it before, I've actually boxed myself, and watching Mike Tyson growing up, and all these fights on HBO, that was the only pay channel we had of cable, so I saw all the fights on HBO growing up, but, yeah, I actually get to do it. Taking it to some sort of level. I mean, it's impressive to the matter who you meet, whether they know about it or not. You know, like I talk about sometimes, I don't give myself enough credit for what I did, but yeah, that's a big deal. A lot of people are telling me, you know, I went to Nationals, and I go, whoa! You know, even though I only had to win a few fights to do it, still one of the biggest accomplishments ever in sports for me, other than winning the JV state title. Junior in wrestling. That's great. I'll never forget those times, but you know, maybe there's time and there's the whole master's program and everything. There's time for me to expand my amateur career. Now if I'm going pro, take quite a break from the training, but get back into it. Just hit the bag yesterday again for the first time in a while. It's getting to be nice weather up here. It's springtime, so. It's never too late, Tony. Turn back the clock, right? First walk, I can do it. You're only 18 years away from the Masters, like 35 now is the Masters for the amateurs. Fighting news occasionally. I just updated the blog for the day, and it's all jacked up with new stuff, so check it out. Until next week. Hey,
all right.
Get your stuff ready.